Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. This is tape number 380. This is March the 16th, 1979, side one. This is income tax season for you. I don't have to remind all of you of that horrendous fact. And I'm going to do an update of the news this week on the tape and read to you some memos that I sent to the Internal Revenue in May of 1972. That was just 1 month before the Watergate arrest, asking for a refund of my taxes from 1971. I'll read this to you just to show you where my head was 7 years ago. And after the update of the news and a few articles that I believe are of primary importance to share with you, I'm going to briefly go into a book which I received this week from a woman up in Vancouver, Washington, who heard my show with Bob Trepper when I was on the air February the 2nd. And she sent me some documents of a course that she's taking in education where she believes that the university is purposely teaching them not to teach a double talk kind of 1984 procedure, and many of the textbooks are written in the United States. And this woman sent me about 40 pages of the textbooks to show me what she meant, and asked me if she should go to a lawyer or what should she do about this course where she's supposed to be learning and she isn't learning. And then last week she mailed me a book. I've given you the name here, Alternative 3, it's called. And it's based on a television documentary that was in London last year. And this book was written because the British press wouldn't cover the story of that documentary, the American publishers wouldn't touch it, and the information for this book came from persons inside the government who were afraid of the consequences of their not speaking up. And the book was published similar, they compared it to the Deep Throat of Watergate, breaking a story that is suppressed. Now the thing about this book, Alternative 3, is that I've received many manuscripts and books from listeners throughout the years, and I'm very grateful for them. Many magazines and many pieces of that puzzle of who is doing the conspiring and who is doing the killing and the cover-ups. But I can't remember in 15 years ever having a reaction to a book such as I received, and I just got it this last week. This book made me nauseous, and I wanted to vomit, and I wanted to faint. I wanted to cry. I wanted to bang the walls down. I literally had the shakes for about a week. It was so scary because it just could be the bottom line of these conspiracies, and I believe it probably is the most important book I've read in many, many years. I'd like to do the whole tape on it, but I'm going to do other material, and I know there won't be time to cover it, and we'll go into it more next week, but I don't want to go one more week without telling you about this book, and I'll be ordering some. I don't think it's safe for you to order them from England from the publisher because they'll keep track of where they come from. I'll use my source in Canada and get them, and I'm getting some for Tom Davis, who has the bookstore in Capitola Research. I'll give you the address there, and maybe he'll be able to get them for you. I think they should all come to one place so that it's not so noticeable, and I don't have any doubt in my mind that this is a very dangerous document to have, probably the most dangerous thing which I possess in my library at this point. And the only thing that will relieve the danger is to share it and disseminate the information. It was like Karen Silkwood going to New York Times with documentation, but the week before she met the writer, she was already filled with uranium poisoning from bologna put in her refrigerator. This book is out. It belongs to everybody, and we're going to talk about it, but it's a terribly shaking book. It explains the UFOs that are out. It explains the Antarctica area that I've been talking about, the Nazification of the world with Wernher von Braun, and the NASA space program is being behind the Nazification. This book explains missing persons, thousands, hundreds of thousands of missing persons, the plan for genocide of millions to billions of persons, of separating people into useful or drone slaves, and it explains a lot about the mission, the moon trips, that I've done tapes that we never went to the moon. It explains Jonestown. It's the one book that puts into focus all the other books and articles that I have received for the past 15 years. And so we're going to talk about Alternative 3 And then alternative four should be what to do with the information once you have it. I'm sure you read last week that a secretary from NATO, Yersel Lorenzen, defected to East Germany, to the communist side. She said that the Germans and the Nazis are coming back into power in Germany, have the atomic bomb for patriotic reasons. After 11 years as secretary to NATO, she has defected last week, as I say, to the other side. And I'm going to have a sweatshirt made, Bravo Yersel Lorenzen, for this reason. She's warning us about this Holocaust, this war that we're getting straight into. And it's going to be those kind of people, such as James McCord, who broke the Watergate story, or Yersel, who have a conscience, who are going to come forward. And that book, Alternative 3, was written by people, not many, but several, who had a conscience and came forward and gave documentation to the people in London doing a TV show on science. This woman left the office of the Secretary General Joseph Luns of NATO. He's a NATO civilian, 67-year-old civilian who was listed just 2 weeks ago as being a member of the Dutch wing of Hitler's National Socialist Movement from 1933 to 36. And there's in the archives in Amsterdam documentation that he was an active member of the Nazi Party. He's claiming otherwise, but his record stands for him. All of this bookkeeping works two ways. They can keep books on us, but actually the Nazis kept very good books, so that members of the Nazi Party are also listed. And this man happens to work with NATO, worked with General Haig, who wants to come home and be the President of the United States, or run the Olympic Games for the United States and turn that into one large defense intelligence operation. But Luns is the NATO civilian official who's been exposed as part of the Dutch wing of Hitler's Nazi group. And this woman defected over to the other side because of fear of atomic attacks that they had against the Soviet Union, and she thought the world should know. So the heroes of this book, Alternative 3, should not get lost. We have to spread the word about them. And the hope we have is that maybe if we get enough information out and talk shows and radio shows and use this material to demand that the Houston Control Centers for the Space Labs and at Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and so forth be accounted for and accountable to us and find out exactly how far this Operation Alternative 3 has gone. As I say, as long as we're alive, the situation isn't hopeless. It's when you stop thinking that you can't make changes that you're in serious trouble. And the very fact that this woman went over to the other side to avert an atomic war in Europe means that people are ready to defect. And if you become intelligent and knowledgeable, they will respond to the newspaper articles you write, the radio shows, the correspondence. They will come forward and give information. And that's the only way we're going to get it. And that's the main way to get it, from people in the inside who defect. Now back to my taxes that I filed in 1972, because I think I should share this with you and compare it or read parts of a new book that just came out on the Klan by Patsy Sims that supports what I was alleging in 1972. I have many documents to support what I tried to get through in terms of a lawsuit. I went to Francis Heisler, an attorney here on the peninsula, to sue the government at the time for my back taxes, but he said it wouldn't work. For the Department of Internal Revenue, May 18, 1972. This is a letter that you have to send with a request after your taxes or are paid, or else they tie up everything you have, and then I have a copy that I put right in with the taxes. Dear sirs, enclosed is a form requesting the refund of my paid taxes for the year 1971. There are spaces for financial changes in your tax form. I'm not asking for a change in any particular case. I'm asking for a total refund of paid taxes. To support this existing government in any way financially is to give approval to legalized murder and assassinations. Many people are presenting tax cases in objection to the Vietnam War. To my way of thinking, Vietnam is a small fraction of a major sickness. The United States of America was overthrown by a coup d'etat November 22, 1963. The killing of President John Kennedy was done for the purpose of maintaining the power in this nation that was tightened with clandestine controls following World War II. Nazi generals, scientists, makers of war machinery, ammunition, were located into this country with the help of John Foster Dulles and Allen Dulles. The State Department and the intelligence agencies combined their energies and relocated Nazi headquarters in a tightly controlled enclave in Tyrol in Jamaica. John Connally, who was former head of the Treasury Department until this week, that was the week of May 72, is a member of that clandestine Nazi group. The National Archives contains proof of the conspiracy that I talk about. The documents are locked up for 75 years. The clothing of John Kennedy, the x-rays of his medical autopsy, belong to every person. The holes in the garment should be examined by every person, and every citizen should know there was a conspiracy. The taxes people pay support a budget of between $60 and $80 million. That was a small budget in those days, to keep documents locked in the National Archives. My taxes, if I sent them to you, will be spent to pay the keepers to lock up information about the conspiracies that killed President John Kennedy, Senator Robert Kennedy, and Reverend Martin Luther King. A democracy needs few secrets. The Freedom of Information Act is not being properly used. All reports and evidence of these murders belong to the people. The Justice Department hires political assassins. That was 1 month before the Watergate arrest, and later John Mitchell went to jail for covering up the Watergate, but wasn't responsible for the shooting of George Wallace or the Chappaquiddick affair, being behind the scenes, but he was the Attorney General. And these are the kind of people I was talking about. Straight through, the Justice Department hires political assassins. I said the Treasury Department hires political assassins. The Justice Department manipulates their trials so that real facts and the evidence are never exposed. The executive branch of the government, the president, locks up the existing evidence of the conspiracies. My taxes would pay public servants who are digging our graves. When the proof of the escalation of the war is exposed, political assassination will have been a major factor in allowing our Nazi, racist, barbarian behavior. I wrote, enclosed is the letter which went with my original payment. It is self-explanatory. In addition to that information, I have other reasons for wanting a refund. The Department of the Treasury, through agents of tobacco, alcohol, and firearms, makes deals for assassinations inside the United States. I have copies of tapes, arrangements for your agents who were agreeing to bring Eldridge Cleaver home in a box. You allow men with narcotics charges out on the streets in exchange for murdering civil rights leaders, minority leaders, and you keep the flow of narcotics going when it could be stopped. My particular interest is in political assassinations. The Treasury Department, as guilty as the justice, is destroying democracy and replacing it with fascism. To support this system with my taxes is identical to the fools in Nazi Germany who bought their own gas chambers. I also got back a letter from the Treasury Department. They answered me in 1972, November 24, 1972, and they said the claim for refund is disallowed. The reasons on your claim are not considered valid, and your claim for refund is denied. That was claim number 1,797, the Tax Franchise Boards. They turned down that application in November of 72, but by June of 72, Watergate had broken, and then we had the chain of command of John Ehrlichman in the White House working with Robert Haldeman and hiring E. Howard Hunt and James McCord, and then under them was John Caulfield, who was speaking for the President of the United States and calling James McCord and threatening to kill him. He had a New York detective police office, and Caulfield worked with Tony Lasowitz, who also was threatening James McCord, and they wanted him to sign the agreement that everybody arrested at Watergate was guilty, and it didn't go any higher than that. And it was James McCord who broke the story that the Justice Department, the FBI, and various high-level government agencies were involved in Watergate and in the cover-up. And it turned out that the agents I was referring to, I was talking about Larry Shears, an agent provocateur of alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, who made tapes with the Treasury Department, and I have his press conferences and a tape recording of them arranging to kill Cesar Chavez at that time and Eldridge Cleaver. I think the reason those men are alive today was because Larry Shears broke the story, and it was linked directly to the Internal Revenue and the way they offer parole to people inside jail if they'll go out and kill these labor leaders and civil rights leaders. And at that time, Eldridge Cleaver was very political. He wasn't working for the system. He was working with the Black Panthers and was very political. Political enough to make arrangements. They were arranging for Sonny Barger of the Hells Angels, a narcotic dealer, convicted narcotic dealer, to be out in a chance to get out or stay out from jail if he would bring Eldridge Cleaver home dead in a box. He'd escaped over to Algeria. And they were considering letting Barger do the transition for them in exchange for his not serving time in prison. There's a new book out now called The Klan by Patsy Sims. It just came out in 1978. That's quite a bit longer. That's 6 years since I made these allegations and about the Treasury Department working with Nazis and killing Jews and bringing Nazis into this country and their assassination teams. And I just want to read you a few pages from this new book that just came out because it's apropos of the tax season, and I think it's 6 years later after she wrote this book, 6 years after I put these claims to the Treasury Department, and they turned me down for the refund. She has reference here to an agent, Roy Frankenhauser. Many of you have read about him. He was an agent provocateur who worked for the Klan, and she describes that he was arrested more than 60 times with charges from inciting a riot to conducting disorderly Klan rallies. He worked for the Ku Klux Klan and the American Nazi Party, the Minutemen, the National States Right Party, and then he became a federal informer for the narcotics departments, the IRS and the Treasury Department and the FBI. And this career ended when he was selling dynamite to another Klan member by the name of Robert Mills, a former Grand Dragon in Michigan. And he was at the time of the school bus bombings in Pontiac. And this agent provocateur was selling him dynamite. He'd been picked up, I say, many times as Frankhauser and was supplying the dynamite. She says, Frankhauser contended he took part in the scheme of selling the dynamite in Michigan because he was acting as an informant for the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF, the same agencies that I was complaining about. He said the government asked him to act for them, the ATF, but then if he was arrested, of course, they disassociate themselves and say he was on his own. As a result of being involved in supplying this dynamite in February of 1974, he was given 5 years probation and suspended sentence, which was what I said, that the criminals are out on the streets and the drug dealing goes on and also this sending of dynamite, these provocateurs are out. He had a 5 years probation and a suspended sentence. His somewhat mysterious spy assignment hinted of CIA ties. He was supposed to go to the Black September group that was going to kill American Zionist leaders. That omission, according to him, was approved by the National Security Council, the White House, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms John Caulfield, who later figured in the Watergate scandal when he tried to persuade burglar James McCord to remain silent for White House clemency. Frankenhauser's turbulent life has included testifying before the House Un-American Activity, and he watched the suicide in his apartment of the New York dragon Daniel Burroughs. Frankenhauser worked with such great people as J.B. Stoner. That's the man that James Earl Ray's brother works for. Stoner had ties to explosives that were extensive. Patsy Sims writes about they were involved with bombings, the Emmett Miller bombing that he was charged with in Little Rock in 1961, the four Klansmen accused of a blast in the home of a black boy who integrated an elementary school in Florida in 64, the 1971 school bus bombing in Pontiac that I mentioned. Frankenhauser supplied dynamite for this person, and he's even been linked with Mr. Byron de la Beckwith, who was never convicted but was twice tried for killing civil rights leader Medgar Evers and involved with time bombs and bombing a Jewish leader's home, his car. Frankenhauser. She says Roy Frankenhauser, the former Pennsylvania Grand Dragon, sold 240 pounds of explosives to Miles and was involved with bombings that had to do with the Atlanta Synagogue in 1958 and the Stoner's Christian Anti-Jew Party and so forth. But this very person, this Roy Frankenhauser, was working with anti-Semites, bombing Jewish homes, civil rights leaders, supplying ammunition and bombs, and claimed that he worked for the Central Intelligence Agency and for John Caulfield and the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the exact group that I asked for come up and explain their role in those murders that were taking place through this entire period. If I could find an honest lawyer, and I think that's a contradiction or a catch-22 or whatever, I would refile that lawsuit based on everything that's been published by the government hearings and by various researchers in the past years and show that I was right, the Nazi links, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, the Treasury Department, the Justice Department, the law courts covering up, and how these people do get out and spread their virulent disease of hate all over the world. That's what I was complaining about, murder and more murders in 1972, and I felt my money was going for that purpose or could be used for that purpose, and I resented having to pay it. They didn't feel that way, and they took my taxes anyway. Incidentally, the same John Conley that I mentioned is working with the Nazis, and the Treasury Department, the Secretary of the Treasury at that time, is now gaining on Ronald Reagan and announced that he wants to be a presidential candidate. The very person that helped resettle the Nazis after World War II down in Jamaica is top second choice of the people under Reagan or close to Reagan. Reagan, Ford, and Connally are neck to neck, and it doesn't matter which one of these you choose. They're very much close to the same team. I think that Reagan has the best chance of getting the nomination, but because there's so much coming out about the government, and Conley was so close as Secretary of the Navy and Secretary of the Treasury, and with his role with Lee Harvey Oswald, his correspondence with Oswald, and his knowledge of the assassinations, it may be necessary to put one more team member in instead of changing to Ronald Reagan at this time, because John Conley has the answers to these secrets and knows how to put the lid on better than a new man in Washington such as Ronald Reagan, because Gerry Ford was on the Warren Commission and worked for the Central Intelligence Agency and had to cover and squeal to the FBI as an informer all the time that the Warren Commission was working and controlled the Associated Press and the United Press, working as a joint FBI and CIA man. I knew that that was why he was appointed by Richard Nixon when Richard Nixon went out of office, because Nixon had put him on the Warren Commission and he was held there to hold the line. That's why he was on second call and became President of the United States. And if they're desperate enough and enough information keeps coming out, they may have to push a Conley ticket, because he has been the head of these agencies, so he'd know how to put the lid on and knows who the agents are. It'd be pretty dangerous to bring a new man like Reagan into Washington when there's so much information out that could turn this government around, similar to the way that Iran went, if the people really caught on to what was happening back there. And I hope they catch on pretty soon. There was a television program this week, a national program, on John Paisley, John Arthur Paisley. I did two tape cassettes on Paisley. If you don't have them, you can get those. I'm not going to rerun those for you. I did an article for Penn Jones newsletter, the continuing inquiry, on Yuri Nosenko, the missing link, ? And I'll give you the address. You can order those from Penn and read the article I did for him. I think it writes very well. I think it's a good article. And if you read it and get it, you can study the difference of my interpretation of that missing CIA man as against what the national program has to tell you on TV. If you weren't around to study the John Kennedy assassination, it was a long time ago, and it's hard to relate to that far away. Take this Paisley story, because he just was missing in September of 78, and then take the news media three nights in a row, a cover-up with a full-page ad in the newspapers, confidential. Nobody realized how important the CIA officer was until he died. And then they called in James Angleton, head of counterintelligence, to deny that John Paisley was important or that he even knew him, and they brought in William Colby, formerly of the head of the CIA and head of the Phoenix program in Southeast Asia. And when you saw them on the screen, if you saw them, this denial that they did, it was so much like Watergate, and anybody with a keen eye would know that these men were lying through their teeth. But it seems that the major media had to tell you, we've done an investigation. Yes, he was controversial, but he had marital problems, and that would make him shoot himself in the head and put a weight around and sink himself. That would make him disappear. Or his contract with the CIA was going to be up in a month, and therefore he was going to be unemployed, and therefore he killed himself. And those are good motives, so don't worry. We found out that he was going to be unemployed. Well, when he went under, they said he hadn't worked for the CIA for a long time, so if they can make one lie, they can make another lie. And another point is that when he disappeared, he had on his boat equipment from the National Security Agency and the Defense Department, and his wife, who was in the CIA, took a former agent of the Defense Department or present agent to the boat to help sanitize or take papers out. So the fact that his unemployment in the CIA was going to end in October of 1978, and he decided because it was a month ahead of being fired, he'd kill himself in September, doesn't make sense because he didn't have to be employed by them at all. When they get on the screen and tell you he was no longer going to be working for the CIA, then they have to explain why he was working with George Bush, who was formerly director of the CIA and the Harvard Committee on the most sensitive documents that the United States has on Russian satellites. And the background of Paisley is so interesting and mysterious, and they don't explain why he would do himself in if he's working for the Defense Department or the National Security Agency. But they come through this story, marital problems, again with a psychiatrist, a woman who said he was always edgy and not sure of his relationship and his divorce, and therefore he shot himself in the back of the head, put a weight around his waist, and went under. And that's why they had to bury him without his wife seeing him, cut off his hands, and cremate him, and unload this body without proper identification or dental plates, which the dentist did explain. And then the FBI expects you to trust them. All-knowing FBI, believe us. All-knowing ABC, believe us. Don't talk anymore about John Paisley, because that's just rumor. We checked it all out, and there's nothing to the story. Remember what they said on TV. If you didn't hear it, you didn't lose anything. And either way, get the article from Penn Jones and read it, and play my two tapes on Paisley, and remember that a lot is happening. And the book that I'm going into, Alternative 3, is into killing agents and missing people. And John Paisley is missing. His wife doesn't think he's dead, and he could be among the missing people. One other matter, a serious matter, and then on side two, I guess all of side two, we'll get into alternative three. I told you, many of you people know who hear these tapes, many of you are personal friends now, long friends, and I've known you a long time through correspondence and telephone calls and so forth. You know that I've been frantically trying to collect old books, books put out from 1929 until 1950. The CIA came into power in 1947, and they began their own publishing and taking over the publishing empire. So a lot of information on the origins of World War I and World War II are in older books. I have a book, Army of Spies, by Joseph Gallome, published by Macmillan in 1939. Invaluable book. Another one, All Honorable Men, I've borrowed. It belongs to a friend, if you can find it for me. James Martin, 1950, The Great Conspiracy. Michael Sayers, Little Brown and Company, 1946. Kurt Rees, The Nazis Go Underground, Doubleday and Doran, 1944. Hitler's Heirs, Pyramid Books, October 61. Well, I read in the San Jose Mercury an article this week that they had a book burning at San Jose State Campus. 7,500 books were burned from the San Jose State Library. And the thing that's worrying me is that I get newspapers from all over the country, and other places are burning books. And it worries me because I go up to the San Jose used bookstores, and I've been getting books and turning people to the libraries to read these books. And I don't know how much the radios and cassettes and talk shows are doing to escalate this, whether I'm paranoid or whether something very sinister is happening. But there's an article here that compares it to Nazi Germany. In the San Jose Mercury this week, it said, book burning controversy flares anew. San Jose State Library were on the campus, they burnt 7,500 books to make room for new books that are coming. They're going to junk 15,000 volumes. We'll do a little bit more of this on the other side and then get right into this horrible book, Alternative 3, that I just have to share with you now. Please.